If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
What did Ian Chappell say to you before you bowled that first ball?
Well, I don't think he said anything. I think he was expecting it was going to be a normal delivery. But then I couldn't guarantee that because... I had all sorts of no-ball issues right throughout World Series cricket. Mm. In fact, the no-balls plagued me all my cricket career because as kids we grew up on those concrete strips, you know, with the little pointy arrow at the front where the stumps went in, and your foot was half on concrete, half in a hole. And I also grew up on the back foot rule. And then when they went to front foot rule on the no-ball... you had to make pretty big adjustments. And
what was the fastest ball you ever bowled?
Look, if I was judging it against Jeff Thompson, I was probably driving a Holden Commodore, and he was driving a Dino Ferrari.
Oh, Lenny, that's rubbish. You bowled, you got close to 100 plenty. I must say, one thing I always enjoyed about playing with you is you always knew you were going to get you and Henry. Just ran in the whole 20 yards, the whole 10 times. And the stories used to be like, what are you going to bowl this ball? Lenny said, bounce him. Bounce Viv Richards. Bounce them all. We're going to bounce them. Ian Chappell, what was he like to play under?
I love playing under Ian. Ian was the sort of captain where there was nowhere to hide. If you had a mental weakness you showed that... God, you know, this bloke's getting on top of me. He would smell that out and you wouldn't be in his next side. He had the ability to bring out the best in you. He saw through you, and that's what I liked about it, because you had to step up to the plate and there was nowhere to hide.
Were you aware at the time that history, and are you surprised it has taken this long for history to be repeated?
History is made by elite sport, and at the time, it's another day at the office. You're trained to do something. You're going to automatic pilot and you do your job. Statistics take care of themselves. As long as you're trained well and you're in the right mental frame, no matter what the occasion is, it doesn't matter.
Some of the toughest cricket ever played was during World Series cricket. The greatest players, some say in the history of the game, gathered for those matches. You had white balls on brown outfields and you played initially with white clothing. Guys bowling 100 miles an hour consistently at you. It's not about who's better, who's bigger, who's smaller, who's fatter, who's anything. But do you think the pink ball with the attacks that we're going to see come the Adelaide Test, do you think the challenge will be as severe as it was during World Series cricket with the dynamics of those players?
Well, first of all, let's get the perspective right. We were talking about one Mitchell Johnson, putting the wind up the Englishman. The West Indies had 4 Mitchell Johnsons in the same team. The rest of the world had 3 with Imran.
Yeah,
and you play with Imran, and so you know the calibre of that man. And then they had the Australian team. We had blokes like Wayne Pryor, and we had Dennis. Gus Gilmore and Dennis and myself. And the second year we had Jeff Thompson. So it was a period of the hostile quicks. So much so that Kerry O'Keefe decided that he would become a medium pacer rather than bowl leg spin because the leg spinners were not getting the bowl. But if you can imagine the development of the white ball and experimentation and the players getting used to it, so that also sort of made it more difficult for the batters to get a grip of.
How long did it take, in your opinion, for the batsman to adjust to the white ball to day-night cricket? Because to my mind, is it inaccurate to say that batting would have been a bit more difficult than bowling in those days because you only had the one ball. Now they use two for a 50-over game. Mm.
Well, Greg Chappell answered this question the other day, and he said he was in the nets facing the white ball. And after about 20 minutes or so, the red ball was given to him, and he thought the red ball was like facing a medicine ball. It just looks so big. And I think what will happen is the batsmen need to find focus more. And the other thing is I don't think they've got the stitching right with the pink ball. I believe it's one row of white stitching and then there's a dark green stitching on the pink pink ball. Barry Richards was saying that it'd be much better if it was all a bright white against the pink. So that's the sort of thing that the players feedback after playing, and there'll be further development.
Lenny, do you see this as the saviour of Test cricket, day-night cricket?
Absolutely, Mo. And what's more, I would say four-day tests. I agree totally with Tubby Taylor. I don't think we need five-day tests, not the way they're built them with those bats. They're getting the runs that they require. And look, you've got to bring the game into the lounge room at night. It's not much point bringing it at 1 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon when people are working and the kids are at school. You know, these days people are time poor. Imagine sitting down, having dinner with your kids, watching the cricket and discussing of matches of days gone by with your family. And that's what I want. I want the passion of World Series cricket from the spectator. You see, one comment made by a spectator said, this is not a game, this is a show. And really, it's the spectators that you want with the passion, with the enthusiasm, and then the players to provide the entertainment. And I think day-night cricket provides all that.
And last couple of questions for you, Lenny. I know you've got to get shaken. What was the vibe in the change rooms? Was everyone aware that they were creating history during that day in January 78? Were people excited about it, nervous about it, or was it just like, let's just go and do our work?
Look, first of all, it was hip to be at the game. You know, in your words, yes, in terminologies. And in the dressing room, no, there wasn't any. It was just like another game. But afterwards was really interesting at VFL Park because Johnny Farnham came into the dressing room.
Whoa.
And one of the great moments that I remember of those World Series is Johnny Farnham on a table with Rod Marsh singing Sadie the Cleaning Lady, and then finishing it off with Happy Birthday, Len, because it was my birthday. So
tell me you've got that on video.
I didn't get it on video, you know, but that was sort of pictures what it was like in the dressing room. You've got Paul Hogan there, you've got Strop there, you've got Kerry Packer coming in from time to time, and it was just an exciting and vibrant, and each day brought something special. And, of course, you can't make it without your opposition, and there was a lot of charismatic players.
Absolutely. What was Kerry like as a man, Kerry Packer?
I found him to be very fair, and he made it very clear. You're working for him, and you've got to make sure that at 12 o'clock at night you are in bed.
Whoa.
Absolutely.
Even Dougie?
Even Dougie. At 12 o'clock, he said, you're now playing for me, and go to bed, and then got to make sure that you're right. But interestingly, Mo, I've got to tell you, he wanted the tag of the ugly Australians gone. So in the West Indies, we were all issued with water pistols. So if anyone, you know, used any bad language or anything, you pull out the water pistol and you squirt the person who dropped the magic word.
Well, I could see that pleasing Ian, what? Dennis.
It didn't last because the boys started putting scotch in it.
Of course they do. What else would they be doing? Now, to what extent did January 78 change cricket? The professionalism, the thoughts that started ruminating through people's heads?
Well, everything changed. The way that we were approaching the game changed. There was a much more aggressive play. We were scoring runs faster. We were playing unorthodox shots. So when Mick Malone bowled the ball wide down leg side and Wayne Daniel smashed it for six, that lit up the imagination of all the spectators, and we come to expect that now in cricket. See, we go along to a match, we want to see sixes and fours hit. Up until that first night game, it was a more of classical sort of strokes and plays, so it speeded everything up. Technology-wise, we've spoken about the microphones in the pitches and that, but I got the first time they put it in, Gary Gilmore bent down to the microphone next to the stump and asked for a jumper. Unfortunately, the poor old lady that was at the other end with the headphones on nearly blew out her eardrums. So Gus got a bit of a rocket for that. But the other thing is we didn't have the ropes, and the crowd used to pour onto the ground. And I remember one particular game, Greg Chappell is saying to me, go back. And I went up mid-off, and I yelled back at him, I come here to play this game, not watch it. At which point this girl in a bunny outfit, a Playboy bunny outfit, has jumped the fence, jumped onto my back like a limpet, and I'm coming in with the bowler, and Greg Chappell says, what the hell's up with you? And I turned around and showed him, and there's this girl with her arms around my neck and her legs wrapped around my back.
That's World Series cricket. That's World Series.
But there was another night in World Series cricket. We're actually playing in the Sydney Cricket Ground. And I wanted to change my shirt like Dennis Hurley, because that's what fast bowlers did. You know, you sweat it and you get in, have a drink, you feel a little bit better. If Dennis can do it, I can do it. As I've come off the field and I'm going up into our dressing room, I remember this lady. She had long hair, and believe it or not, she was wearing a fur coat, a short fur coat. I don't know what it was. Anyway, she's grabbed me around the neck and planted one big kiss on the side of my face. And I only went to change my shirt, and I come back and I was really invigorated. I put on half a yard.
We always like to have a few fans in the crowd. And finally, Lenny, pitchers and bowlers today, it's not about better or worse. Changes, do you like the surfaces that they're bowling on today?
I would love to be playing today, mate.
Because drop-in pitches came from?
World Series cricket that in VFL Park. That was the first time one ball hit the middle of the track and go along the ground. The next one would be coming at your ears. And there was a lot of the batsmen were very apprehensive about it.
No.
And, of course, the helmets were developed, and it was Ian Davis and myself that got the horse riding helmet and had put a mask on the front, and that's still to this day, it's a horse riding helmet when you have a look at it.
And that's the C&D ones, Albion?
Yeah, and C&D struggled for a long time, nearly went broke a few times, because there's this attitude that, if you wear a helmet, you're some sort of wrong with you, your technique's going to go bad. But let me tell you, every time someone gets hit in their helmet, I think back on that day when Ian Dace and I were in Ashfield talking with that fella about the development.
Mr. Henson?
No, it wasn't. No. It was a guy, he made artificial limbs. Oh. And it was in Ashfield. And he retired and sold it to Tony Henson.
Geez, I wish you took a patent out on that, Len. We'd all be flying first class.
Oh, look, you don't, at the end of the day, you just do it because you want to survive, because these West Indian quicks, as I said, there's four Mitchell Johnsons there. Mm. There's Ian Davis batting one, and I'm batting number 11, and I'm still taking the shine off the new ball.
Any bowlers that you really like today, Len?
Oh, mate, I think the bowlers are... Mitchell Starc's the standout. First time I'd seen him was up in Lismore, when Steve Rickson said to me, well, who do you think are the quicks here? And there was Tasmania, there was Victoria, and there was New South Wales. And Bollinger was there, and Clint McKay was there. Mm. And it's the first time I saw Mitchell Starc. And I just liked his attitude back then. Mm-hmm. I saw him drop a catch near the fence where I was watching. He was near the fence. Ball come up. And he sort of half went for it, and he dropped it. And I thought, well, he'll get a second one now. And let's see if he drops that, whether he takes the gas. And instead, he dived forward and didn't do the safety first, I'll stop the four. He actually tried to make the catch, and the ball went through, and it was four runs. So now he's got two drop catches, but he didn't dog it. And the third time, the ball was hit towards mid-off, and he ran about, it seemed like half the length of the field, dived both hands and caught it inches off the ground. So to me, he had the cricketing brain and he wasn't going to be intimidated. So that meant he had the mental strength to be a fast bowler. And then I watched him and I thought, well, am I watching a left-handed Glenn McGrath here? He's tall, he's got a really fluent action, and he bowls some serious heat. So I'm a big fan of Stark. I think Hazelwood is still feeling his way.
I'd love to see Nugget Cummins get fit.
Look, I had a bit of a chat to him recently, and my concern is that he keeps on doing the same thing and he's getting the same result. He's getting injured.
Well, what's going on there, Len?
Well, I think we've got to go back to the old days where lightweight repetition, preventative exercises to balance up the muscles in your back.
How about just learning to run properly?
Well, that's... you know, that's an important part too. You've got to get there. Personally, I think Pat Cummins needs to go and have a good session with Dennis Lilly. He's got to have a list of questions about his own bowling to say, what are my feet doing? What are my hips doing? What is my head doing? What effect does this have? When you understand yourself as a bowler, then you can repeat over and over again. But also you need a pre-match program, you need mid-match exercises, you need post-match exercises and build-up, and then you need during match, like in between matches, you need to have your own routine. And I think that's the area that Dennis would be very helpful to Pat Cummins.
Now, Lenny, you're looking fantastic. I don't know how you are, how old you are these days, but you look almost at about fighting weight. Just in less than 10 seconds, I'd love to give you a plug somewhere. Tell the world what Len Pascoe's doing with his life.
Well, at the moment, I'm rowing with John Dyson. He wants to get fit. I want to get fit. He lives down the road. And of course, I do. You know, we do the speaking gigs. How can you get up on a microphone and be 117 kilo and tell people how good you used to be or what you did? And the other thing is that when you're behind the desk and you're doing a Johnny Cash show or a Blues Brothers show, people are coming up and they want to talk to you. You're representing cricket. We're an ambassador for the game, and I want to be as good an ambassador of the game that I possibly can and get the kids playing cricket. And with the Plan B, which the ACA, Sri Lankan Cricketers Association, supports, the T20 competition in the bush, I think it's fantastic. And the ACA, Sri Lankan Cricketers Association, initiative, I think should be taken up right around Australia. And maybe one day we can have the old Cavaliers of World Series cricket, where you had a multitude of group of players from all over the world would go and play matches in regional areas against the the best that they can offer. But Plan B, T20, Sydney Thunder is what I'm under. Dougie Walters has got the Sixers Plan B country tournament on the 6th of December, Sydney Cricket Ground. Get down there and watch the cream of country cricket battle it out for the T20 Plan B Cup.
Brilliant, Len. Thanks very much for being part of Macquarie's Summer of Cricket, mate.
It's a pleasure, Mo, and go the Aussies.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here.